The Dead Earth. Episode 1. MJ. 21 Days After the Rising. Part 1.
Mary Jane Simmons was almost lost in the oddity of it. It was in the almost comical way the unliving creature stood there, an arrow piercing its head from temple to temple like some cheap novelty toy. Nor was it the disturbing way that it simply resisted death, remaining on its feet far longer than any living thing could with such a wound. No, what struck MJ as odd was just how routine being baked had become. In the weeks that she and Vance had travelled together, the two survivors were rarely tangled with more than one flesh-eater at a time. However, loners, as Vance called them, were another story.
Get him for the group.
Arms outstretched, grasping at empty air, the flesh-eater struggled to take one final step, then collapsed, its hands and feet twitching like a partially crushed bug clinging to life. Cross-drawing a hatchet from his belt, Vance positioned himself near the head of the foul creature. Lewis, a rail-thin man with coal-black skin and sharp, well-defined features, gave the marksman an approving nod.
Nice one, Vance. So where does a rock star learn to shoot like that?
Man, I was a poor old country boy, way before I was any kind of star. Hell, my daddy would drag me and my brothers out in the woods every chance he got, teaching us how to hunt, track, fish, you name it. Man, did I hate it. Sure thankful for it now, though. Lewis, this here's what I was talking about. See, an arrow is kind of like your low-caliber rounds. On its own, it don't usually do enough damage to kill the Risen, but with it stuck in its head like that, it can't reboot.
Reboot?
Yeah. MJ came up with that one.
Without looking at her, Vance gestured in Mary Jane's direction with his hatchet. Lewis turned his dark eyes on the freckled-faced girl, who was lost in her own thoughts. His voice brought MJ slowly back to the world.
Are you okay, Jane?
Yeah, sorry, I'm good. So, the reboot. Well, you see, the first time I saw one doing this, it made me think of this old computer we had growing up. The thing was ancient and always crashing. It was awful, really. Of course, that didn't stop us from constantly fighting over who got to use it. Anyways, every time I rebooted that old thing, it would groan and grind, like it was struggling to come alive. I sort of think that's what the Risen are trying to do. When one takes a blow to the head, it's like they try to reroute all the connections you've scrambled up. If you've done enough damage to the brain, it's like flipping a switch. They go down and they stay down. Not enough, it just stuns them for a time. A few minutes, a few seconds, who knows, but eventually they get back up. But with the arrow stuck in it like that, well, it seems to short everything out. Keeps them from rebooting. That's why I call it that. Besides, it sort of helps to think of them that way. For me, at least.
Think of them how?
Well, like machines. You know, instead of the people they used to be.
I never looked at it like that, but I see what you mean, how it could help. Okay, so the arrow, or I guess anything stuck in its head like that, it disrupts the reanimation process? Do you know for how long?
Well, I ain't timed it or nothing, but plenty long enough to put them down. Speaking of, y'all go ahead and step back a little.
MJ and Lewis complied, taking a few steps back as Vance tightened his grip on the hatchet. Then, with one heavy swing, he brought the axe blade down on the back of the creature's neck. The harsh sound of snapping bone preceded a sudden eerie stillness as the unnatural twitching stopped cold. MJ knew that in the early days of the Rising, Vance would have gone on to remove the head, but such action took far more effort than one would think. Experience had taught them that after severing the spinal cord near the base of the neck, the task of granting mercy to the damned was complete. Even so, Vance waited with his hatchet half raised, ready should any signs of reanimation occur.
Well, that's a lot less messy than the way Hogleg does it.
Yes, well, Hogleg is a jackass.
No argument there. Still, he's damn good to have with you in a fight.
Yesterday, he told me I was looking less fat ass and more fine ass every day. He actually said that.
Like I said, no argument.
MJ reflected briefly on Hogleg. The muscle-bound biker wasn't much taller than MJ, but had pounds of muscle packed onto his bulldog-like frame. Complete with tattoos and mohawk, the man's intimidating appearance was also enhanced by the fact that he was, hands down, the best fighter in camp. The only real problem was that he was also an ass, and, in Mary Jane's opinion, too dumb to make any real decisions. Luckily for the group, the crude biker deferred to Pike's orders. And so long as he got the regular opportunity to re-deadify some fucktards, as he often put it, the brute was normally manageable. A brisk November wind rustled the trees, as orange and yellow leaves fluttered to the ground. But it was the dark red blood covering Vance's axe that garnered their collective attention. Vance and MJ exchanged a concerned glance as the ichor shifted from its usual blackish hue to a bright and murderous crimson. However, Lewis was more visibly shaken.
Christ. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, man. You've seen him do this a few times now.
How many's a few?
3. First one was about a week ago. It freaked us out, too. We told Pike about it, but with the camp already on edge, he wanted us to keep quiet for now.
They're definitely changing. I swear, these last two, they even seemed a little faster.
God, I hope you're wrong about that.
Me too, Lewis. Me too.
Mary Jane watched as Vance crouched down and wiped the axe blade clean on the dead thing's tattered denim jacket. Then, with some care, he retrieved his arrow, pushing it the rest of the way through rather than trying to work the broad, razor-tipped arrowhead back out. The country boy spoke in a lighter tone, trying to lift a gathering cloud of gloom.
Know what I miss? I mean, besides my absolute worst day before the rising.
Let me guess. Groupies?
No. Wasn't famous long enough to have none. No, I miss the good old days when I had one arrow set aside for killing the dead, and 5 set aside for hunting. Now it's all flipped the other way around.
Vance rewarded MJ's teasing with a mock scowl as he cleaned the arrow, his lip curling at one corner in a failed attempt to hold back a smile. A strong Cherokee bloodline on both sides of his family gave Vance a naturally warm skin tone. But it wasn't enough to hide the flush of red that warmed his cheeks. His embarrassment, however subtle, made the freckle-faced girl smile. During their travels together, MJ had learned how just a few days before the world went to hell, Vance Walker had won a televised music competition called Nashville's Rising Star. In its first season, the show had a modest viewing audience that grew over the course of the competition, giving the 24-year-old carpenter from Sweetwater, Tennessee, a notable level of celebrity in the world of country music. Having never been a fan of the genre, MJ had been oblivious to this fact until that celebrity had saved their lives. Vance placed his arrow back into the compound bow's side-mounted quiver, then searched the dead thing's pockets for anything useful. Discovering a small plastic lighter, he tossed it to MJ, who deftly caught it, gave it a quick test, and then slipped it into a jeans pocket with a thankful nod. Vance then tossed a small pearl-handled pocket knife to Lewis, before giving an old set of keys a slight jingle and tucking them away.
You know, the good old days you're talking about wasn't but a few weeks ago.
Sure, but the end of the world days run more along the lines of dog ears. Lewis, that ain't much of a weapon there, but that's a good tool to keep on hand.
Yes, thank you.
Lewis slowly looked the knife over, unaware that Mary Jane was inspecting him with similar scrutiny. Having arrived 12 days ago with the survivors from Atlanta, the former lawyer was a relative newcomer to the Lake Consauga campgrounds. It was the first time Lewis, or any other member of the camp, had gone hunting with Vance and MJ. Not from a lack of desire to pull their own weight, but because the pair could move much quicker and hunt more efficiently on their own. On this day, however, Lewis had all but insisted on joining them, and MJ couldn't shake the feeling that the man had been sent by Pike to keep an eye on them. With each passing day, game had grown more and more scarce, It had been days since the pair had returned with anything substantial for the camp, and hunger had a funny way of turning relatively good people into foul and dangerous creatures all their own. MJ had heard more than one grumble about how she and Vance must be eating everything they killed while on the hunt or hoarding it away. There had even been a few comments about her weight, but those were something the girl had learned to ignore years ago. Truth be told, MJ had never been extremely overweight, even if society and her own self-image had convinced her otherwise. Now, nearly a month since the rising, the near-constant physical activity and regular missed meals had slimmed the freckled-faced girl down. MJ still had pleasing roundness to her face, but the change was enough that her clothing was now loose and baggy. In spite of these things, MJ felt like she was in the best shape of her life. Lewis's voice brought Mary Jane back to the present.
So, this hunting thing, it's obviously not going so good, right?
No. The more risen that roam into the area, the fewer animals there are to hunt, and it seems to get worse every day.
Well, it sure helps stretch out our supplies. Pike has scouts out looking for places to scavenge. So, hopefully one of us gets lucky soon.
Alert hazel eyes moved between Lewis and MJ with like-minded concern. After a slow scan of the area, Vance rubbed his worried brow, then gestured with the tip of his compound bow.
Let's try the western ridge.
Are you sure that's a good idea?
Well, it's either that or head back empty-handed again. Something I ain't overly eager to do. Besides, if things get too hairy, we'll bug out.
Whatever you two think, I'm just here as backup.
Mary Jane doubted backup was the only reason Lewis was with them, but she felt confident enough he would provide it. Her eyes moved to the 3-foot length of metal pipe Lewis had resting on his shoulder. Whatever mistrust she had of the Atlanta survivors, they were a tough, tight-knit group, capable of handling themselves in a fight. Lewis, while slight of build, appeared as fit and strong as anyone could under the recent conditions. MJ adjusted her glasses, fingers clasped lightly around the thick black rims as they settled into place high on the bridge of her nose. The freckled-faced girl knew she wasn't as skilled a fighter as her two companions, but while being baited for the old rising or two had become almost routine, it still wasn't pleasant. Then there were people to consider. The living could be almost, if not more, dangerous than the living dead. Mary Jane mentally shuddered as she briefly recalled two of those living people before forcing the thought quickly from her mind and focusing on the task at hand.
Well, we do need food, and maybe more than that, we need to know if that's where the Risen are wandering in from. Let's give it a try, cowboy.
Vance gave Mary Jane a pressed-lipped smile and rolled his eyes with a slight shake of his head, before taking the lead and moving out. Lewis moved in place beside MJ, who was allowing some 20 feet of distance between herself and the former rising star. Visibility through the sparse vegetation was good, but the peaks and valleys of the North Georgia hills were often problematic. The distance between them allowed Vance to crest each hill first and scan the adjacent gully alone, limiting the chances of being detected by any Risen that might be in it. There was no real reason to whisper, but Lewis spoke in a slight softer tone nonetheless.
You two seem awfully concerned about this western ridge. Anything I should know?
It's just a lot closer to the highway and populated areas in general. What has kept us safe up to this point is our relative isolation.
That was Pike's thinking as well. Get somewhere safe and out of the way while the government sorts things out.
Except now there's no government. No one left to do the sorting.
Lewis gave MJ a slow concurring nod, then quietly continued to trail Vance as they moved west. The unfamiliar terrain kept MJ's attention focused and sharp, her hand resting casually on the handle of her machete as they travelled. When the former lawyer did speak again, the sun had dropped a little lower in the sky, and the hills had transitioned into a long, gradual slope. Lewis gestured towards Vance, who had slowed his pace and was easing back to the group.
So, did you two know each other before all of this?
No, we met on the road just a few days after the rise. I had never been so glad to see another human being in all my life.
I was pretty happy to see her, too. I don't think either of us would have made it this far without the other. When we first met, I was still real sick from the plague. MJ looked after me. Kept giving me antibiotics that she probably should have been taking herself. Yeah, I figured it was because she knew who I was. You know, that she might be a fan or something, but it turned out she didn't have a damn clue. Lucky for me, that's just the kind of person she is.
Mary Jane's fair skin made it impossible to hide the blush that swept across her cheeks. Vance grinned, and MJ hurried to change the subject before any more praise, something that she had always been uncomfortable with, could be offered.
What about you, Lewis? I mean, I know you arrived with Pike and the others, but how did you come to join them?
Ran into them in Atlanta, just a few days after the Rising as well. By then, things were really bad. Countless undead and what seemed like half the city on fire. Long story short, I found myself in a real tight spot. Pike and his crew bailed me out. They bailed out a lot of people that day. I know he looks a little rough around the edges, but he's a good man. I have to admit, though, I never thought I would ever be happy to see a bunch of redneck bikers roll up on choppers. I sure as hell was that day.
Vance held his hand up, ending both conversation and movement in one smooth gesture. Narrowing his hazel eyes, the country boy slowly took in his surroundings. Lewis and MJ followed suit, remaining quiet and alert until Vance gestured toward the nearby ground. Lewis scrutinized the area, trying without success to make out what Vance was drawing their attention to. MJ, however, picked up on the faint tranks almost instantly. She was still nowhere near the caliber of tracker Vance was, but she had been shocked at just how quickly practical application had helped her learn the basics.
Some Risen have passed through here. 7 or 8 of them. It's hard to tell. Never seen this many so close to camp. Luckily, they ain't moving directly toward it.
How can you tell?
It ain't hard once you know what you're looking for. Once they're moving in a group like this, they don't change direction much unless something gets their attention, or the terrain forces them to. You want to show them, MJ?
Sure.
Vance gestured to MJ, smiling encouragement. When he had first started trying to teach her, the young woman had been hesitant to even try, but with each lesson, her confidence had grown. Chocolate brown eyes studied the ground closely. As she explained, MJ pointed out each telling feature.
Okay, see here, where the ground is softer? You can make out some shoe prints. Tennis shoes here, and the heel of a boot there. Now, look how they shuffle and drag, and then again here, where they stagger from side to side a bit. They don't usually move along so great over uneven ground. These are either the tracks of the Risen, or a bunch of drunks.
That's remarkable. Do you think we'll run into them?
No, if we'd have been here a few hours ago, we might have crossed paths. We'll change course a little just to make sure, but we need to stay sharp. Could be groups of them in the area. Oh, and both of you need to keep an eye out for this stuff. It's what drew my attention over here in the first place.
Vance gestured towards a patch of plants, the reddish-purple stalks distinguishing them from the surrounding greenery.
It's called polk. You want the green leafy part, but we're going to be moving quick, so for now just pull it and bag it.
You mean we can eat this stuff?
Well, yeah, Lewis. We ain't picking it because it's pretty.
It is kind of pretty, though. Does it taste good?
It ain't bad cooked in bacon grease and scrambled up with some eggs. But we don't got neither of those, so it's gonna pretty much suck. Still, it's food. You can only eat the leaves, and you gotta boil those real good or you'll get pretty sick. I ate a ton of this stuff growing up. Gotta say my dad had some shortcomings, but putting food on the table wasn't one of them. Hell, I didn't even know we were poor until I was practically grown. Anyway, let's round all this up and get moving.
Gathering their bounty quickly, the three survivors continued on. In short time, Vance had managed to pick off a few squirrels, and much to their excitement, a rabbit in a display of expert marksmanship. Although she had witnessed his skills often, the freckled-faced girl still marvelled at Vance's command of the weapon. Turning down her friend's offer to let her try the next one, MJ contributed instead by field-dressing the game. An animal lover, it was a task Mary Jane still found difficult to perform, but a desire to be useful and, more importantly, hunger, had been the deciding factors in learning the unpleasant skill. The gruesome task of putting down the Risen should have jaded the girl, but somehow it just wasn't the same. That Lewis seemed equally sickened by it made MJ feel just a little better about her own reservations. Each task, be it hunting, gathering, or processing, was done with efficiency and the constant knowledge that daylight was slipping ever so slowly away. As dangerous as the world was during the day, it did not compare to the risk darkness brought with it. No one knew how or why, but it was widely accepted that the Risen were more active during the night hours, and seemed entirely unaffected by the darkness it brought. The most common theory was that the Risen relied more on auditory than visual cues, but both were capable of drawing the Flesh Eaters to you. MJ had decided to voice her concern when Vance stopped, shielded his eyes, and pointed off in the distance. MJ raised a hand to shield her own eyes from the low-hanging sun. They quickly adjusted to reveal a tall man-made structure on a distant hilltop.
What is that?
A water tower, maybe?
Those are round, aren't they? It's some kind of tower, but that looks square to me. You know, it might be an old fire tower. It's definitely on the highest point of the ridge.
How far do you think it is?
Mile? Mile and a half, maybe. We could make it there by dark, but it wouldn't leave much daylight to get back to camp.
A fire tower would have some supplies in it, wouldn't it? Maybe we could just camp there for the night.
Probably something in it worth scrounging, but it could also have folks living there. If so, they might not be too keen on us putting up for the night. I don't know, man. I think it would be safest to head on back to the camp and look into it tomorrow.
I think we should check it out now. If we did have to make camp in the woods, it wouldn't be the first time. Everyone's on edge, Vance. We need a win awful bad. And supplies aside, if the tower was used to spot fires, it has to be a good vantage point to get a better lay of the land.
MJ normally followed Vance's lead, but she knew from experience that he valued her opinion, and when voiced, he more often than not yielded to it. She watched as the musician brushed back his shaggy brown hair, let out a breath, and gave a slow, reluctant nod.
Okay, but if we run into a big group of those things, we turn around. Hopefully there ain't nobody in the tower. It'd be a pretty safe place to set up camp. If we're lucky, the only way up and down will be the ladder.
Yeah, I wouldn't think they could climb one of those.
I saw a few clamber over a fence once, but they were after someone, and all the other deadheads with them just stood there clawing at it.
Deadheads? I like that. MJ and me used to call them those things for the longest.
Still do. Are we ready?
Yeah. Let's get moving and check things out before it gets dark.
You have been listening to The Dead Earth, created by Blake Cole, featuring the voice talents of Taylor Ricketts as MJ, Jacob Murfree as Vance, and Jared Wedd as Lewis. Narration performed by Naomi Fielding. Episode 1 written by Blake Cole and Laura Walker. Editing by Taylor Ricketts. Produced by Blake Cole and Wayne Robinson. Music by Jazar. Sound effects by Inchadney, Flathill, R. Humphreys, J. Zasvarek, Bender, Handball, and Joel Audio. Audio mixing by Wayne Robinson. For a full list of credits and additional information, please visit our website at www.deadearthpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Dead Earth Podcast. Dead Earth is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. I'm Sarge Ray, and this has been an Ugly Blue Hat production.